You're tuned in to an hour of what's scoring locally, across the country, and around the world. Spud Sports Sunday with Ryan McKenna on 102.1 Spud FM.
And welcome to Everything Classic 102.1 Spud FM for the August 5th edition of Spud Sports Sunday, PEI's only sports talk radio show. I'm your host, Ryan McKenna, and this week, we're going to knock you out with this show. Literally. With the 2013 Canada Games opening ceremonies taking place on Friday, and competitions starting yesterday, two local athletes competing in athletics, Connor McGuire and Sierra Goody, will join me for Spud Sports Sunday's Athlete Profile of the Week to discuss the games and, well, how they are preparing. At 7:15, Corey Arsenault, the owner of Stretch Fitness in Summerside, he'll talk about what's going on at his gym and what he is doing to keep athletes in tip-top shape for the off-season. A longtime local trainer, Joe Borden, will follow that, discussing how he trains his athletes with a particular focus on MMA fighters. And we will keep the MMA train going with an interview at 7:40 with Jana Shelby Rogers, the wife of MMA fighter Steven Rogers, who thinks MMA fighting should come to Summerside. We'll wrap up the show this week with the Blue Jays report with Jeremy Pearl and what happened at the MLB non-waiver trade deadline that took place on Wednesday. We'd like to interact with you guys here at Spud FM. Check us out on our Facebook page, 102.1 Spud FM, or on Twitter, you can follow us at Spud FM. Or, if you're feeling crazy, you could even follow me at RyeGuy11. Spud Sports Sunday is broadcast live on 102.1 Spud FM, as well as online at our website, www.spud.fm. If you missed tonight's show, or if you want to listen to it again, the podcast version will be available on our social media pages later this evening, as well as iTunes under Sports Super Station. The 2013 Canada Games, well, they're underway in Sherbrooke, Quebec, and already the competition is intense. Last week on Spud Sports Sunday, we debuted the first of three episodes where we take a look at local athletes competing in the games. Ellen Arsenault and Jill Curley, two female soccer players competing for Team PEI, were on that show. So this week, we're going to turn to a couple of athletes who are competing in week two of competition in the athletics portion of the Canada Games, Connor McGuire and Sierra Goody, both of Summerside. Both these athletes are, well, simply put, athletes and superb at what they do. They're tremendous and they're well recognized for doing so. For both McGuire and Goody, this will be their second Canada Games. Joining me now on Spud Sports Sunday, it's two athletes competing at the 2013 Canada Games in Sherbrooke, Quebec. Connor McGuire joins me in the studio, and on Skype, it's Sierra Goody. Welcome to the show, guys.
Thanks, Ryan.
Welcome.
So both of you guys here are from the Summerside area, and this is your second time through with the Canada Games competing in athletics here. In 2009, you played both basketball and ran the 400 meter and the 4x400 meter. What's different about this year's games in Sherbrooke, Quebec, for you?
So I guess after attending the last Canada Games, it was, like you said, I was a dual sport athlete, so I was doing both basketball and track. So this time, I'm just focusing on one sport, so I think that's a little bit easier mentality-wise. So I'm looking forward to that.
Did you find that it took a toll on you in 2009 playing both basketball and the 400 meter? Because you were competing in both weeks, right? So it was a little bit grueling.
Yeah, I was actually pretty impressed with how my body kind of handled the situation. Going into the games, mentally I prepared myself. I knew it was going to be a tough 2 weeks because I knew I was going to be doing both sports. But I was able to last and hold out for both weeks, so I think that was probably just a testament to my training. So this summer it'll be, I guess, a little bit easier on the body-wise because I only have one to focus on.
We'll get to your training here in just a few moments, but Connor, this is also your second Canada Games. You competed in three events in 2009, the 1500 meter, the 5000 meter, and the 4x400 meter. What do you find different for you now that you're 4 years older?
Oh, a lot of things. I think the biggest thing is just knowing how to approach the situation mentally, like Sierra mentioned. Championship racing, as it's called, is quite different from an everyday race in the fact that you're not actually essentially going for time, you're essentially going for place. So a lot of times there's mental games played during it, and I think I'm a bit more strong that way this 4 years around here.
So Sierra, coming back to you, it seems like the 4x400 meter, that's your specialty. Would you agree with that?
Yeah, I guess in the last couple of years, when it comes to what events I end up running or participating in, the 4x4 is always just one of those that people grab me for right away. I don't know if it's more so because they know I'll enjoy running it or because I'm good at it. I'll let them decide on that, but I definitely think it's fun, so I was happy to be on it again.
So, Connor, you placed fourth in the Canadian Inter-University Sport, or easier said, the CIS Track and Field Championships this past season in the 1500 meter and the 3000 meter not too long ago with St. Francis Xavier. Describe to me a little bit about those races, and do you find that they were a good test maybe heading into Canada Games?
Yeah, they are big time. A big thing for Canada Games is actually knowing who you're competing against. That helps a lot when you've been here for 4 years. Like I said, I have raced against, I'm pretty sure every single person I will be racing Canada Games at one point or another, so I'll be drawing on that confidence I had racing at CIS to hopefully put that through to Canada Games and make a good run of it.
So fourth place, do you feel that you can, you know, step into the medal rounds now?
Yeah, hopefully. I mean, that's obviously a goal I have, but this summer's been good training-wise, and I do enjoy indoor track a little bit more than outdoors, so hopefully I can draw on that in about 2 years, but I'm very excited for Canada Games. Hopefully I can come in the top five, if possible.
Speaking of school, Sierra, you're at the University of Ottawa running with the GGs. How did this past season go, and maybe describe to us one of your highlights of this season?
Okay, let's think. So the season went not too bad. Basically, it was kind of a little bit of a transition again. So I was running mid-distance and training for mid-distance. But the races that I was having success in were actually so speed races. So that was kind of a little bit confusing. But at the same time, I was still enjoying things. So for me, probably one of the two biggest highlights would have been I ran a 500 meter, which is an indoor race, not specifically for CIS qualifications, but I ended up running a personal best time, which put me into the top five all-time performance list for the university for the female. So that was a huge accomplishment. And then I was selected again to be a part of the women's 4x8 team that went to the OUA championships. So that was also a really special highlight for me as well.
Congratulations. Now, I know that you guys both speak of running outdoors and outdoors. Connor, maybe describe to me and to our listeners a little bit about how running outdoors is different than running indoors.
Well, the big thing I noticed is obviously the track is longer. Indoors, you typically run on a 200-meter track, whether that's banked, so a little incline to help you go faster, or you can run on a bit more like 300-meter track indoors. Obviously, there's no weather factor coming into play, whereas outdoors, you have a bit less turns, and the weather sometimes is a factor, especially the heat in the summer months. So typically, you do actually run faster outdoors, so it is enjoyable to go at Canada Games and get a nice quick time.
Sierra, would you agree that running outdoors is a little bit better?
Yeah, no, Connor's definitely right in what he said.
So, joining me on Spud Sports Sunday, it's a couple of athletes heading to the 2013 Canada Games, competing in the athletics. Sierra Goody is on Skype, and Connor McGuire joining me here in studio. Connor, going back to you, you're entering the final year of your CIS eligibility, and after graduating St. FX this past season, you're heading to Lakehead in the fall. Explain to me and to our listeners why you chose Lakehead and why you're going to an OUA school.
Great question. So I was part of the AUS conference, which is one of the smaller, a little bit weaker conferences, just based on the school sizes and stuff like that. So we decided to make a transition to a little bit bigger school and a very, very tough conference. So Lakehead University is located in Thunder Bay, anyone wondering, and I'm going to be pursuing a master's in health science. So I chose it to hopefully lead me on to a career in the medical profession, and because they're just a great school, and I visited the school, and it was also a very, very good fit. So,
running-wise, do you feel as though you'll fit in well with their team there?
Yes, I do. I've met some of the guys on the team, and they're just spectacular guys. They have a couple guys, younger guys, a very young team, who are very, very quick, so I'm excited to work with them on the track, and especially in cross, too.
Sounds good. So, with great athletes like yourselves, you have to train hard, and I think that much is obvious. Sierra, I understand that you just got back from Toronto this past weekend doing a run guide. Is that correct?
Yeah, it is.
So what exactly, describe to our listeners a little bit what a run guide is and your participation in it.
Okay, so I've been working with the Ottawa Lions Track and Field Club for the summer, and it was in June, early June, my boss approached me with a extremely unique opportunity, and there was a high school meet going on down at the track, and there was a 14-year-old visually impaired girl who just started running track. She used to be a dancer, and because of her vision impairment, it was getting worse and worse, so she had to switch sports, so she's now doing track and field. And she is so incredibly talented, and they were looking for someone to be a guide runner for her. And my boss, who is also her coach, asked me if I would like to try it out and just see kind of like what the experience was. So I went down that day, brought my spikes, and went down and met her. And she's a really awesome kid, just really mature for her age, and was really willing to compete. So I raced in a 100 meter with her, and things went very well. So from that point on, I started training with her and working with her, and just learning a lot of different aspects of track and field based on her disability, and we kind of worked together on that. And so this past weekend, like you said, I was in Toronto participating with her at the Bantam Midget Youth Championships, and we ran two personal bests in the 100 and the 200, and she's not far off from a B standard, which hopefully if she could get that, she might be able to be carded, and eventually Paralympics could be in her future. So that's kind of what I'm hoping to help her do.
That's awesome. And is that taking up the majority of your training time?
Unfortunately, that's kind of the situation, but I'm still working on a lot of technical stuff. So what I'm learning is that I'm doing more technical stuff with her, still working on speed and block training and stuff like that. So, and then I'm kind of doing endurance and weight training on my own. So I'm hoping that for a 400, it'll still all come into play nicely. It's the goal.
That's the goal always. Sierra Goody joining me on Skype, and Connor McGuire joining me here in studio. Connor, I see you run around Summerside all the time here. What have you been doing?
Oh, just a lot of training, and like Sierra said, getting in the endurance and the miles. So I'm doing a lot of double runs, so two runs a day, and then also going to the gym for just general strength. I'm not trying to get bulky, just too small to do that.
You have the same body figure as me. We're not getting any bigger,
no. And then also a lot of just plyometrics and drills and strides, just get my speed up there for these quick races that turn over, going from pretty slow to pretty fast, so just working on that.
So you guys are both, like I mentioned earlier in the interview, going into your second Canada Games, do you feel a sense of leadership at all, being, you know, a little bit older than some of the rest of the young athletes competing on TBEI? Connor, go ahead.
Yeah, I do. I mean, obviously just because I'm a bit older and hopefully a little bit more mature. Who knows about that? not even the Canada Games experience, just my experiences throughout CIS and AUS have hopefully helped me become a better athlete mentally, and hopefully inspire some people to run well, and I'll put it all on the track when I get there. And hopefully that does the majority of the talking.
Sierra?
Connor did a pretty good job of covering all the basics on that one, but I feel the same way. I feel like at this point in the game, when you've been doing things and being in competition a lot longer than other athletes, and by working with the athlete I'm working with right now, being that she's younger, what I'm learning is being able to calm her down really helps. And I was the worst for that when I was a younger athlete. So I think there's some things that you learn as you grow, and it can help in race preparation and getting ready to perform at a higher level.
And finally, wrapping up the interview here, what are your personal goals entering the competition next week? Sierra, you go first.
Well, I guess for me, it would be just putting out a good time, getting out of the blocks pretty quick since I've been doing a lot of speed training, and then hopefully just, you know, I know every 400 meter runner knows where the dying point is, and just, you know, working through that would be, I guess, the goal coming around the last backstretch. So for me, it's just about being strong and being mentally ready, I think, is the big focus.
Connor?
Oh, good question. I've thought about this a lot. My goal is to hopefully be in the lead pack with about a lap to go and then see kind of where I feel. The big thing about distance running, as maybe opposed to sprinting, is just depending on the day how you feel. It's just if it's too warm out or maybe you're just not having a great day, your stomach would be acting up, things like that. So I just want to be in contention with the last lap to go and hopefully have a nice kick home for both my races.
Now, I know I said that that was the last question, but you bring up a great point. Maybe like a game day preparation. How does that go about? Because it's tough to, well, we talked about the mental preparation, but, you know, the other preparation that you need food-wise and keeping yourself ready to go.
Yeah, so a big thing that it also depends on what time of the day you race. If you race later on at night, then you kind of want to plan your meals to get a big one a couple hours before, then snack before that, and just make sure you get enough water is really important on these hot days, because a lot of times, although they do plan these long-distance events at cooler periods in the day, you do want to be sufficiently hydrated so you're not thinking about water during your race.
It's a very complicated process, I'm sure, at times, but that's also what makes both Connor McGuire and Sierra Goody two of the best athletes here on Prince Edward Island. Guys, thanks so much for joining me on Spud Sports Sunday.
Thanks, Ryan.
Thanks, Ryan.
And boy, they are great athletes as well. Thanks again, Connor and Sierra, joining me on Skype for that awesome interview. Be sure to follow Team PEI on Twitter to make sure, well, just to check up on how they're doing. You can follow them at @team_PEI. Or, alternatively, you can listen to McKenna in the Morning every morning this week on Spud FM, brought to you by Cool Breeze Farms at 8:10 every morning here this week. I'll recap the day that was for Team PEI at the 2013 Canada Games going on in Sherbrooke, Quebec. After the break, we'll find out what it takes to stay in tip-top shape if you're an athlete, and even if you're not, during the off-season. Stay tuned.
This is Spud FM.
You're listening to Spud Sports Sunday with Ryan McKenna on 102.1 Spud FM.
Hey, welcome back from the break. Ryan McKenna here. You're listening to Spud Sports Sunday on Everything Classic 102.1 Spud FM. Hey, did you ever wonder what it takes to stay ahead of the competition and be in tip-top shape heading into the upcoming sports season? Or better yet, ever wonder what it takes, you know, to be in shape, really? Or better yet, what certain fitness classes at a gym can do for you? Why not learn from anyone better than former bodybuilder here on Prince Edward Island, Corey Arsenault? Joining me now on Spud Sports Sunday, it is the owner of Stretch Fitness here in Summerside, Corey Arsenault. Corey, thanks for joining the show.
Thanks for inviting me.
So how has the business been at Stretch Fitness so far this summer?
It's been a great summer. We've been open 2.5 years now up on Central Street. And, you know, your summer is your slower season. Folks are off camping. Folks are barbecuing. And they're at their summer sports and they're busy. But we've had a great, great spring and a great summer. And we're looking forward to a really, really busy fall.
I noticed on your website, actually, this morning I was checking it out. And you guys have some summer programs that are still going on, some summer courses. Tell me a little bit about that, and are you seeing some good numbers?
Sure. Like, we offer year-round programming, and even when the summer comes along, when the numbers start to fall off and people sort of, like I said, they take their break in the summer and they go off camping, we still want to offer our regular programming. So we've got some youth programming going on for some young people, like an after-school type program. We've got our regular programming going on for classes. So we're still rolling along. We're actually just developing our fall program right now, getting it ready for a launch probably early September. So it's looking like a really good fall.
And you also have some classes going on and starting in August, a spin class as well as a TRX class. Tell me a little bit about what a spin class and a TRX class is and what they can actually do for somebody.
Sure. Spin class is basically a class led by an instructor on a bike. We have bikes that are like stationary bikes, and I guess the easiest way to explain it is pretend you're going up the Hunter River Hill. The class would be versions of that. You'd be the instructor would say, okay guys, we're heading up that hill. Pump hard. You get off the bike, you start pumping your legs really hard. It's a great cardio workout, great for the lungs, great for the legs. So spin is one of those really nice classes that people really enjoy, and they like it so much that they've been coming at 5:45 in the morning for the last 8 weeks, and they really enjoy it. So TRX is another new program we've got offered starting this month. It's basically a class with a rope. It was developed actually by the U.S. Navy SEALs. It was a way for the Navy SEALs to exercise out in the bush, out in the desert, and be able to do exercises where hanging off a tank or just using a rope to pull themselves up and do different exercises. So we've incorporated that into our programming, and we have the ropes now, and a great instructor who teaches twice a week. And your flexibility, core strength, stomach strength, back strength, great for your balance, your coordination, great for the first timer or the athlete. One thing about it, different classes that we offer, they're not just for the expert person, they're not just for the athlete. We adjust and modify to all ranges. So that's the key thing, is to adjust, because folks walking in the door, they aren't all ready to be athletes. They're coming in for weight loss, they're coming in with injuries. You got to adjust and modify, and all of our classes can do that. So.
And it sounds like quite the workout too.
It is, yeah. If you like, you can take your exercise with the spin or with the TRX. You can burn 1,000 calories in an hour on
wow.
spin. So that's a very high intensity class. One great thing is the instructor can take you from the beginning point to the expert point. So you may start off as a beginner in week one or two, and you'll build up that endurance and build up that toughness in the legs that you need as you go along. So it's a really nice class for any range of fitness.
Earlier in the show, Corey, we had on a couple of athletes, Sierra Goody and Connor McGuire, who are competing at the Canada Games in week two for athletics. And I asked Connor maybe some of his game day, his game day preparation, his game day meal and that sort of thing. And, he said a few different things, but as a personal trainer yourself and seeing a lot of different athletes, is there one sort of, I guess, ideal meal or sort of routine that an athlete should get into going into a game day?
Yeah, meal-wise, I've been doing this for 20 years, and what I've said and what I've learned in my own bodybuilding and my own fitness career is you eat whatever makes you feel good. If you're coming into the day of a show or the day of a contest, that's not the day to introduce something new. Like if you've gotten in shape and eaten well with eggs and rice and chicken for 16 weeks, then you don't switch away the day of the show. If it doesn't upset your stomach for 16 weeks, it'll be still good the day of. So the biggest thing is no massive changes leading up to the day. So if you've got a big game today, stick with what's been working for you and stick with what you know. You don't want to try that brand new food on the day of your biggest event, right? So I would tell anybody just to stick with what they know.
Speaking of your bodybuilding, are you still active and doing the bodybuilding?
I still exercise every day, but bodybuilding for me, I guess I would call myself retired. If you can kind of call yourself that, but I haven't competed since 2009. Had a few little injuries that kind of limited, but then I tell people this every day, I work 12 hours a day helping others, and I might spend 30 minutes on myself. So my life has kind of changed away from my own fitness to where I try to help others and support others every day. So
in this episode of Spud Sports Sunday, and of course we're speaking with Corey Arsenault, the owner of Stretch Fitness here in Summerside, we've been talking about staying active and staying in tip-top shape, a lot of what you and I have already been talking about so far in this interview. So yesterday, when we were doing a pre-interview, I guess, you talked about Nick Evans, who plays on, I guess, the now Charlottetown Storm basketball. Explain to me how you would train someone like Nick with the sport that he plays.
Sure. Well, if everyone's familiar with Nick, Nick is literally 7 foot. And he's the center. He's the center position for the Storm. And the Storm have been at our facility, or they were at our facility from August of last year up until the end of the season. And Nick has met a local girl, and he's now living in Summerside. He was here pretty much all summer. He just got back from China. So for a guy like Nick at 7 feet, he knows what he has to do to get better. He was told by the coaches he needs to get stronger, and he needs to be able to have more power and more strength. So what we're trying to do with Nick all summer is to make him stronger. We're having him lifting heavier weights, and we're trying to get him to, because he's so tall, he's got such a large core, so like a large stomach area, that we've got to make that strong. So what we did is we designed a program back in May to make him stronger, to make him faster, to make him have more power when he jumps. And he did it for about 8 weeks, and he was telling me a story one day. He was playing some ball with Doug McKinney in Charlottetown, and he says, "Corey, I went up for a dunk." And he goes, "I used to dunk, and I'd be flopping all over the place." He goes, "I went up, and I jumped with such authority, and I had such strength, and I actually, for the first time, could turn and move while I was in the air." So the core strength we had developed just in 8 weeks had allowed him to get up in the air harder, stronger, with more authority. So he basically became a better athlete in the time, in the off season, when you're supposed to make those kind of gains. So he just got back from a trip to China. He was playing ball for a team in China for the last about 6 weeks, and he said the food wasn't as good, so he lost some strength and he lost some muscle, but he was playing better. So that's the big thing, is to make Nick a better ball player, make him stronger for his height, make him be, because they have tons of condition. They run up and down the court all day long, but a guy like Nick needs to get stronger, needs to get heavier, more muscular, and be able to handle that, because he's down low, taking the ball in as a center position, make him stronger, be able to handle that rough and tough down low.
Maybe some of the exercises to work on that core strength, sure. What would they be?
For a guy Nick's size, we do a ton of cable work, where he'll hold weights away from his body. We do a ton of planks, a ton of heavy weighted exercises where he'll hold weights away. Just, we're trying to engage his stomach muscles, because a guy that size, he's so lanky that we've got to kind of strengthen him through the middle. And by strengthening the middle, the rest of him will improve. His posture will improve. His knees won't be as sore. You can imagine a guy at 7 foot, you know, he's a 19 sneaker. He's a huge, huge man. So every time he steps, it's a lot of pressure coming down on his knees and ankles. So we're trying to do everything we can to strengthen his whole body so that the wear and tear of the season doesn't put him out for injury. So.
And he's in with you almost every day?
He's there every day. He's been back. He was with us for about 8 weeks, and then he went to China. He just got back this week, and he's been in every day. So he'll be working every single day until preseason, and then the tryouts and practices will start. And then every off day that he's not practicing or not playing a game, he'll be in again. He realizes this is the first time in his pro career that he's taken the off season as seriously as he should have, and he's really seeing the progress from that. So
that's always nice to see too, an athlete that's putting their all every single day and are actually seeing rewards right?
For sure. He's a great guy, and he was a rookie last year. He came in and didn't get a lot of playing time, but he realizes that this year could be his year to take a real step up to be a starter, so he knew the work he had to put in. He was told by the coach, he knew what he had to do. He had to get stronger, had to get heavier, had to get faster in the feet. So those are all things we worked on from the moment the season was done, and we'll work on it till the season starts again, then we'll do maintenance all year. So,
and especially a league like the National Basketball League of Canada, there's only up that can go from there, right?
For sure. And like Nick, like these guys, they travel. Like he was telling me that some of the other players have had contracts offered to them in other leagues. You know, some of the boys are coming back, and some of them are already signed to other positions in other teams. So for him, this could be the stepping stone to another league up on next year, right? So he'd be a second year player this year, hopefully be a starter, hopefully make an impact, get his 12 points a game, which is what he's shooting for, and then make that next leap up. So,
Corey Arsenault, owner of Stretch Fitness here in Summerside, joining me on Spud Sports Sunday. So, doing a little bit of a contrast here, you also train with the Summerside Western Capitals and the Maritime Junior Hockey League during the season. Do you train them at all during the off season?
Yeah, we've been lucky enough to have three of the boys who are living in Summerside. of a team of 23 guys, there's only been a half a dozen or so who live close enough to exercise with us, and we've got three of them so far. We've got two of the players and a draft pick coming into this year, and they, again, they're putting all the work in. They're there 4 or 5 days a week, putting that exercise time in, the hard work they need. Again, get bigger, get stronger. So we're excited to have the boys, because it was a great year last year with Royal Bank Cup, and obviously you had your top athletes, your top players from around Canada being recruited to that team. So to have them go all the way to the final game and be involved with that was quite rewarding. So,
whenever you're training a hockey player in comparison to a basketball player, do you find much of a difference though, Corey?
It's the height and the size. Like, the hockey players are normally under 6 feet, and like the average ball player 7 feet. So even a little thing like doing something where they have to jump, we would design a program for the Caps where they might do some exercise jumping up and down. Well, if Nick and the boys jump up and down, they'll hit the ceiling. So I remember the first day the Storm came in, there was only 12 of them, and when they stood in our room, they literally took up the whole space. So that was kind of an eye opener there, because it was the first time I'd ever dealt with men that size. And once you adjust for their height, then it's what you're trying to accomplish with them, you can just put a program together and away they go.
Corey Arsenault, owner of Stretch Fitness here in Summerside, joining me on Spud Sports Sunday. Corey, thanks so much for this.
Thanks for the invite.
I actually heard a quote once, and it makes great sense. Whenever you're sleeping, somebody else is always trying to get better. Corey Arsenault, owner of Stretch Fitness here in Summerside. And it's an interesting quote, whether you're an athlete or not. Coming up after the break, we'll talk about something a lot of people are wanting to hear here in Summerside, or just wanting in general, MMA fighting. Stay tuned.
Everything classic. Classic hits.
Day in, day out.
102.1 Spud FM. To Spud Sports Sunday with Ryan McKenna on 102.1 Spud FM.
Welcome back from the break. You are listening to Spud Sports Sunday with myself, Ryan McKenna. Hope you're all having a great evening, and thanks so much for tuning in to the show. Have you ever wondered how some of the local MMA fighters, like the likes of Steven Rogers, Richard Arsenault, and Matt McGrath, train and become the athletes and fighters they are today? Chances are that they've trained with former professional boxer and Summerside native Joe Borden. Joining me now on Spud Sports Sunday, it's longtime trainer here in around the Summerside area, Joe Borden. Joe, welcome to the show.
Thanks, Ryan.
So I actually saw in the Journal Pioneer earlier this week that you're going to be playing in a charity hockey game this weekend, and you're going to be honored as well. Can you tell me a little bit about that?
Oh, no, I'm not playing, that's for sure.
But you're being honored.
I got a call there from Al.
From Al Andrews, yes, yep.
And, he politely told me that he'd like to honor me for my work that I've done with hockey players over the years, and I thought that was great, and I really appreciate it, and I'm looking forward to it.
That's going to be awesome. Congratulations for that.
Thank you very much.
So you're a trainer, and you have been for a fair long time. You just came back from training some athletes earlier today. Can you fill us in on who maybe you may be training so far this summer?
Well, so far I've done a lot of work with Richard Arsenault,
mm-hmm.
the MMA fighter from around this area. He's getting ready for a big fight in Moncton on the 15th of September. He has a rematch with Ricky Goodall. Anybody that's seen that fight, it was voted fight of the year over there. So those two are going to go at it again. So I'm doing a lot of work with him right now. In a couple weeks' time, I'll have all my hockey players lined up, and we'll start doing 3 weeks of that before they go to training camp. And over the years, I've done a lot of work with all kinds of hockey players from around the Maritimes. I did some work with Gordy Dwyer, did some work with Dion Phaneuf, Brett Gallant, all those guys. Trevor Carmichael, You name them, I work with them.
As a former boxer, Joe, how do you go about training a new athlete that comes to you and is willing to learn the sport of boxing?
Well, if it's boxing they want to learn, that's fine. Like I said, I cross-train some boxers, hockey players, and MMA fighters. The key is to get in good condition, as you know. There's a lot of components to that. Now, when you're talking about getting in condition, you got to have real good cardio. You got to have your strength training. And you got to set it up that it works well. You can't do 4 or 5 things in one day. You have to spread it out. You got to have a good schedule. You got to do your boxing on one day for your cardio. And if you're fighting MMA, you have to do your jiu-jitsu on another day. You have to do your wrestling on a day. So you have to spread it out. You have to be careful of what you're doing with each athlete.
What has been your most successful moment as a trainer?
Well, years ago, I had 3 Canadian champions in amateur boxing. I had a gold medal winner at the Canada Games. Brett Glantz then signed an NHL contract, you know, working with Cody Doucette, who played semi-pro hockey. There's been quite a few. Working with Trevor Carmichael when he was a third-line player with the Caps 1 year, and the next year he wins the scoring race in the Maritime Junior Hockey League. So, you know, there's been quite a few.
Joe Borden joining me on Spud Sports Sunday. So you had mentioned Richard Arsenault earlier in your interview here. He was on Pride in the Morning with Chris Pride last week. Arsenault, of course, an MMA fighter from the Summerside area who trains with you. In an Anthony McPhee article in the Journal Pioneer, he said, "I've watched him over the years selflessly helping so many people. It is truly an honor to call Joe a friend and a mentor." He goes on to say, "He has improved my stand-up, increased my speed with my hands, and just made me an all-around better competitor." When you hear something like that from someone that you train, what's your initial reaction, Joe?
Well, you know, it's a real good feeling, really, you know, but I don't do it to hear those accolades. Like, I do it because I want to better the athlete, and, you know, some of that stuff that goes along with it, like Rich and I spend a lot of time talking, you know, and sometimes we talk about personal issues and stuff like that there, and if that helps, that's fine. And for him to say that, you know, it makes you feel real good. But my main purpose is to get him to be the best person he can be every day. Now, when I say that, I mean I want him to be the best person he can be every day, but I also want him to be the best athlete he can be every day. You know, so... And it's nice to get credit, but you got to give a credit to him. Because he's the person that changed, right?
Yes, exactly. And he's the one that put in the time and the effort. Exactly.
Exactly, yeah.
So, staying on the topic of mixed martial arts, what percentage of athletes that you train have an interest in doing the sport?
Well, not too long ago. I remember having, there was at least six guys that fought on a card over in Moncton. You know, we had some other guys. Like, I trained Steve Rogers when he became lightweight champion, and then he moved to Shelltown to train down there. And I had Richard. Did some training with Ryan Gallant, who's, you know, undefeated 3-0. And there's always new kids coming that want to try, you know, to try out. And I have some young kids who wants to box. So you got to try to, you know, put them where they have to go in the boxing program. And then you got to keep work with the guys who are in the MMA program. Then I got my Caps players who will be coming to camp to get ready for the training camp. You know, so it's, you know, it's interesting.
So there has been a lot of MMA talk as of lately, and the potential of it coming to Summerside and there being events here in the city. Do you feel as though it is a good idea, and would it be successful, your own personal opinion on that?
Oh, I strongly think it would be successful, because I go to these other fights and go to these other places, and I see these places are full, you know. And any time that Richard Arsenault or Steve Rogers or any fighter like Matt McGrath from Shelltown, if any time these fighters are fighting on the cards in Moncton, there's 700 or 800 people that travel over for those fights. Now, if you imagine that you put that 700 or 800 people here and then put another 1,000 with them who would come to the fights from all over the island, yeah, it would be successful.
It's a very interesting point, too. And I mean, the Credit Union Place is such a great venue for something like that as well, right?
Oh, is it ever. It'd be top-notch, no doubt about it. I think it's going to happen eventually. It's just a matter of the government officials getting it together and putting the right people in place and forming a commission. That's what they have to do, is form a commission first. And then even if you have to bring the promoters from Moncton in to do the first card, the train, it's called like train the trainer, and off you go, you know.
It's almost going to be like a stepping stone process sort of thing, right?
Yes. Look, it took it for years and years to get in Toronto. They finally got it, and like, you know, some of those cards have been huge successes for them.
They're always a sellout whenever there's USC in Toronto. Always.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. And they had to fight for years to get in there, and now they're there, you know.
And they're successful, exactly.
Oh, yes, yeah.
Joe Borden joining me on Spud Sports Sunday. Joe, thanks so much for this.
Thank you.
We're going to keep the MMA talk going and speak with local MMA fighter Steven Rogers' wife, Jana Selby Rogers, and why she thinks MMA fighting should come to Summerside. All that after the break.
Everything classic. 102.1 Spud FM. You're listening to Spud Sports Sunday with Ryan McKenna on 102.1 Spud FM.
Welcome back from the break. Ryan McKenna here, and you're listening to Spud Sports Sunday on Everything Classic 102.1 Spud FM and simulcast online at www.spud.com. Anchor.fm. Once again, if you missed tonight's episode, the podcast version is available online at the Spud FM Facebook and Twitter pages. Back in early July, Chris Pride, the host of Pride in the Morning here on Spud FM, he sat down with Corey Thomas, the city councilor here in Summerside, to talk about the possibility of the sport of mixed martial arts coming to Summerside. Let's take a listen to see what Corey had to say.
Joined again this morning by Summerside City Councilor Corey Thomas. Now, in 2010, Summerside City Council approved the Combative Sports Commission bylaw, which we thought at the time may lead to the city hosting boxing and mixed martial arts events. However, the province's lack of legislation on the sport of MMA kind of prevented that from happening.
Yeah.
Recently the federal government passed a law essentially legalizing or decriminalizing MMA, if you will. Does that affect the situation in Summerside at all?
No. Apparently, according to provincial legislation, we still have to, the province still has to allow it, from what I understand, and we have to, initially, I'll just back up a bit, Chris.
Yeah.
We developed a draft bylaw based on a promoter and a local business wants to bring in MMA. Now, I'm not an MMA guy myself. I don't know a lot about it. I don't watch it. I like professional wrestling where you get more of a longer show out of it and it's staged. But anyways, we passed a bylaw and the province wouldn't sign off on it because the legislation doesn't allow it. So what we have now is we have a second request to the province because we've had this promoter and a local business person wanting to put on MMA shows at the Credit Union Place. And as you know, it is quite popular.
Yeah.
I believe it's allowed in New Brunswick. I think Moncton, they have shows at the casino over there, I believe, quite a bit. So where it is now is our own internal and external legal counsel, as well as provincial government officials, have been working together to see if there's a way we can do this. So it's currently with the province right now, I understand, and hopefully we'll know soon whether we can move forward. I don't know if it's a special vote of cabinet that will allow it or how it's going to take place. I don't know, but that's currently where it's at. We initially put this bylaw in place saying we needed a commission, a sports commission, MMA commission, that will sort of govern the MMA when they come. Initially, they had wrestling listed as on our bylaw, and so that might hinder pro wrestling coming, so we're looking at removing that aspect because, just to give you a little history there, back in the 90s, Vince McMahon admitted that it's staged,
yeah,
fixed in or predetermined. So he did that to get out of having to deal with all these sports commissions and things like that. So to put wrestling in there was sort of, we're going against,
yeah,
you know, the spirit of it, sort of thing. So
it'd be a little silly to have a commissioner sitting ringside watching a guy hit another guy with a steel chair.
Yeah, exactly. And it's supposed to be for prize fighting, is these commissions.
Yeah,
you know, where there's something on the line, as you know, that. You know, I love Bret Hart as you do, but Bret Hart got the belt because he was told he was getting the belt,
yeah,
right?
Exactly.
You know, so anyways, yeah, so that's where it's at, and it's with the province right now, and we're hoping that that soon we'll be able to start hosting these. As I said, there's a local business person and a promoter,
yeah,
that want to bring these shows to Summerside. So yeah, and it'll just give Credit Union Place another event to host and give people more of an opportunity to get out and see some different things.
You know, 5 years ago when you brought up the sport of mixed martial arts, it seemed to almost be offensive to a lot of people. Do you get the sense that people in Summerside and people on the island in 2013, if they don't like MMA, they're at least okay with the idea of it happening in the city?
I would think so. I mean, yeah, like you said, 5 years ago, I can remember when it first come out back. I watched it when it first come out back initially in the 90s. You know, it was kind of a taboo thing. I watched it and I said, what is this stuff here? When they had Dan the Beast Severn and Ken Shamrock and Hoist Gracie laying on his back,
yeah,
getting people tapping out.
You had like 200-pound guys fighting like 130-pound guys.
It exactly.
Was nuts. Yeah.
And no rules. But now it seemed to be more accepted. There's the guys are, you know, disciplined in various martial arts.
And people enjoy it. I mean, it's gone big. It's I was in Montreal for a hockey game last year, and you know, I saw a UFC office when I was walking down St. Catherine Street. So
yeah.
It's expanded into Canada, and it's grown, and it's one of the trends that are growing. So, you know, yeah, I think that people, while they may not like it or they may not go out to watch it, I don't think they'll be offended if it comes here.
Interesting. Well, Corey, as a fan of pretty much any type of sport, especially sports where people beat each other up,
yeah.
I'm excited and hoping that this can come to Credit Union Place, because I think it'd be great to watch.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, as I said, I'm not really health, but certainly I know there's a following and people will go, and you know, why not, you know?
All right, well, thanks a lot for doing this, Corey.
Okay.
And we'll chat with you soon. All right.
Okay, thanks, Chris.
That was an interview from Chris Pride back on July the 2nd on Pride of the Morning with Corey Thomas, a city councilor here in Summerside. Now, actually, this week's Spud Sports Sunday question of the week, it asks you, the listener, do you think MMA fighting should come to Summerside? And this post was the most read and the most commented and by far the most popular question of the week that we had here on Spud Sports Sunday. Just Facebook notifications galore. There was over 10 comments. There was 20 likes on the status. And I'm going to read to you guys a few of the top comments. Courtney Arsenault, she said, yes, it should come to Summerside. Although some people think it is really savage, it is actually a one-on-one competition that fighters train hard for, so it's not like a street fight. There are rules, and the fighters know exactly what they're signing up for. This is the height of athleticism. It would be great for MMA fighters and the city of Summerside, because people would come all over the Maritimes, bringing a lot of revenue with them. Islanders are competing in MMA, but are forced to leave PEI to do it. It would be nice to see the province support local athletes. Joyce Arsenault, she said, I am for MMA coming to the island. It has changed my son's life and could have a positive influence on others as well. Speaking of Joyce's son, Richard Arsenault, he commented on the post himself, and he said, yes, it should. If people would like it to give it a chance, they would see that it has helped change my life, and I've seen it change others. It's not just a brutal sport. It can be life-changing as well. Speaking of Richard Arsenault, he was on Pride in the Morning not too long ago, about a week and a half or so. We'll post a link to his interview with Chris Pride on this post as well. Now, speaking of Richard, he has his own fan page, and he posted yesterday, would people like to see MMA come to Summerside PEI? If you would, let Spud FM know. And he posted it as a poll question. There was zero responses in the no, you would not, or the not sure. It was 44 people that said yes, they would like to have MMA come to Summerside PEI. This is all very interesting, and it brings me to the next segment on our show and the next interview. Time will tell its course whether MMA fighting will come here to Summerside PEI. But as Jana Shelby Rogers mentions, it could be very soon. Joining me now on Spud Sports Sunday, it's Jana Shelby Rogers, the wife of Steven Rogers, who is a Elite One MMA fighter. Jana, thanks for joining me on Spud FM.
No problem.
So, Jana, your husband, Steven, he's an Elite One MMA fighter, and most recently he fought in April. Can you give our listeners an update on what he has been doing lately and when we will potentially see him fight next?
Sure. Steven did fight in April of this year. He did experience a pretty disappointing loss. He had decided prior to that fight he would at least take this summer off. So I don't know what's really coming his way in the future. Maybe he'll take a fight in the fall, or maybe he'll look at saving his next fight for one here in his hometown.
Yes, and I guess that's the reason why we have you on the line with the potential of, well, there's been a lot of chatter lately of people looking to get MMA fighting here in Summerside, and that's part of the reason why I have you on the line. What are your thoughts, Jana, on MMA fighting coming to PEI and specifically Summerside?
Obviously, I'm for it. I'm not quite sure why they wouldn't bring it to PEI or to Summerside. MMA is one of the fastest growing sports in the world right now. It's been mentioned to me at most of the Maritime events that the minimum presence of those events is 50% Islanders. So I'm sure that 50% of the crowd would be thrilled to stay here in their hometown and watch fights here.
Yes, for sure. And I mean, there's, I posted a question seeing those results. So yesterday on Spud Sports Sunday, I posted a question on our Facebook wall, and I asked listeners, do you think MMA fighting should come to Summerside? And there was an overwhelming response of yes. I had over almost 20 people like the post, and I had a ton of comments, ton of replies, and a lot of people are saying yes, that MMA fighting should come to Summerside.
Absolutely. MMA is a community of very supportive fans, and that's really obvious when we go to these events in the Maritimes. It's just packed with people from PEI.
So, Jana, well, speaking with Joe Borden earlier on Spud Sports Sunday, he came up right before you now. He said that a commission would need to be formed if MMA would come to Summerside, and also Corey Thomas mentioned that in the interview that he had with Chris Pride a little while ago as well. Is this something that you would be interested in?
Absolutely. I love the sport of MMA. I have great respect for all those involved, the fighters, the fans, the promoters, and especially the commissions. I've built a really great working relationship with some of the commissions, in particular the Moncton Commission. I've learned a lot from them over the last few years, and they're extremely knowledgeable and very supportive of expanding MMA to PEI, so I'm sure they would be more than happy to assist in, you know, any questions or concerns that a newly formed commission here in Summerside would have.
Now, Jana, in the Corey Thomas interview as well, he had mentioned that a local business owner as well as a promoter that he knows of in Summerside are looking to bring the sport here. Do you know anything about that?
I don't know anything about the local business owner. I would probably be aware of who the promoter would be, which would probably be someone from off-island. Actually, this all started back in 2008, 2009, when a promoter had approached me about the possibility of bringing it to Summerside. Now, that promoter has since disappeared and is no longer in the MMA work right now, but I know Elite One MMA has mentioned it to me on numerous occasions. Like I said, there's a lot of fans there, and they're very aware of that. They're good at what they do, and they're aware of the support that they get from PEI fans and fighters. PEI actually has some of Elite One's top fighters right here from PEI, so they would love to bring an event here and have those top fighters showcase their talent here in their hometown.
Janice Selby Rogers joining me on Spud Sports Sunday, talking about MMA and potentially bringing it to Summerside. Now, Elite One MMA, as you mentioned, they host a lot of events over in Moncton, New Brunswick. Do you know if they're willing to expand and potentially bring their business to Prince Edward Island?
Oh, absolutely. I've talked to them over and over again about it. In my opinion, they're probably the best promotion in the Maritimes. I've been going to their shows since 2008, and what a steady progression of talent all around, with, you know, the fights get better, the crowds get bigger, the audio, the venues, everything just continues to improve with it at every event. So I think they would be really interested in bringing an event to Summerside for sure.
Now, the only catch, Jana, and correct me if I'm wrong, is the provincial government. That seems to be the catch in this process, and why there isn't any fighting on Prince Edward Island now. Am I correct in saying that?
Yeah, that's right. I'm not sure the ins and outs of the legalities of it, other than there's a couple of different options. You can it can be legalized provincially, or it can be legalized as a municipality. For instance, over in New Brunswick, it's only legal in Moncton, whereas somewhere like Nova Scotia, it's a provincial sanction. I believe Ontario, who is recently on board, is also a provincial sanctioning. So I'm not sure how Prince Edward Island would approach it, if they would approach it provincially or as a municipality. I'm not sure. The only provinces currently that do not have it legalized, I believe, are Prince Edward Island, Newfoundland, and Saskatchewan. But Saskatchewan, there's been some talks, and it looks like that's going to happen really soon.
And hopefully that happens here soon on Prince Edward Island as well, because I think, in my personal opinion, economically, it would be a great move, right?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, each card has usually about 10 fights, you know, so that brings just 20 fighters alone to the province, as well as their fans, their friends, their families, their coaches, their teammates, you know, and like I said earlier, the MMA community of fans especially are very supportive. You know, the fighters from Moncton, their fans would come here, just like we always go to Moncton when there's an event. It could potentially draw lots of people over.
And there's a great venue as well over at Credit Union Place.
Oh, it's a fantastic venue. It's probably a bigger venue than most of the events that I've been to, but there's no doubt in my mind that the first event absolutely, I think, would pack Credit Union Place.
It'd be very interesting to see. Jana Selby Rogers, thanks so much for joining me on Spud Sports Sunday and talking about a sport that you love, mixed martial arts.
No problem. Thank you.
That just about does it for our MMA portion of Spud Sports Sunday for the August 4th edition of the show. We're running a little bit overtime tonight, but we still got one more report to go. It's the Blue Jays Report with Jeremy Pearl coming up next.
Hi, I'm Eddie Shack, and I'm listening to Spud FM.
Everything classic. 102.1 Spud FM.
You're listening to Spud Sports Sunday with Ryan McKenna on 102.1 Spud FM.
It's now time for everyone's favorite segment on Spud Sports Sunday. It's the Blue Jays Report, and joining me from Canada again, Jeremy Pearl. How you doing, buddy?
I'm great and glad to hear that this is everyone's favorite segment.
Well, at least that's what I've been hearing, at least. Jeremy, the Toronto Blue Jays, they haven't been so great this week. They actually started off well, taking 2 of 3 from the Oakland Athletics, but so far in Los Angeles, not so great. They dropped the first 3 games of the series, and really, those losses, a large part due to starting pitching, or lack thereof, if I do say so myself. Josh Johnson, 1-8 on the season with a 6.60 ERA, and in his last few starts, his ERA has been over 9. Jeremy, that's not good enough when it comes to Major League Baseball. Maybe list off some options for the Blue Jays that they're going to need to give the bullpen a little bit of help.
Well, honestly, the team's kind of running out of options. I mean, every week we seem to be talking about another Josh Johnson failed performance. I think kind of one of the things that's starting to kill the Jays bullpen is Mel Rogers. He had a great start. He was pitching well.